The manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, Charlie Montoyo, joins us. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
How you doing, guys? I'm doing well.
Good. Well, you got one roster spot to fill. Have you made a decision? Has the organization decided who the 25th guy is going to be?
Might as well break the news here, Charlie. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Not yet. We're almost there. That's right.
We were just chatting about Elvis Luciano, and I want to get into a bunch of things with you. But since he came up, 19-year-old kid, Rule 5 draft guy, if you don't keep him, you lose him. Did he show you enough to make this roster, or are you going to be really, really cautious with this kid?
Well, he did show that he's not nervous on the mound, and for an 18-year-old, that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah.
Again, like the other day when he faced Kane, first pitch, hit him in the back, and then he comes back and strike out Yelich, the MVP of last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that tells you the kid's not scared. So, and he's got a good arm. So I think that was impressive for us to see, and I think that's why he made the clock. He said, okay, you know. He's not going to be nervous. He's going to be all right.
Because I know you said during spring, Charlie, that you thought, you know, what impressed you with the kid was that he seemed very cool and collected. Then we saw a couple of times where he looked, you know, on the mound, maybe looked a little less cool and collected. But how significant was that inning he pitched in Montreal for you?
And you know, when he didn't look as cool and collected, he was just like, because he's 19 and he was just not throwing strikes. He wasn't because he was nervous. You know, and I remember saying that he looked nervous, but he wasn't. He was not throwing strikes. But yesterday we map it out, so he faces the top of the lineup, and he did a good job. You know, and again, the only reason we took him out is because we wanted Mesa to face the lefties too and be ready for the season. So that's why we also took him out. But I thought Luciano looked pretty good in his outing 2 days ago.
So well, how do you use him, Charlie? Sorry, Bob.
Yeah.
Like how do you? Do you treat him like just another guy in the pen? I assume not, right? Like how do you employ him?
I'm not going to treat him as another guy. I'm going to try to ease him up. You know, I'm not going to bring him against Kane and stuff like that again. I'm just, you know, easy innings, hopefully, you know. If we're down, you know, let him pitch. And if we're all out, let him pitch and go from there, you know.
Well, I have a million questions for you, but let me start with an obvious one. Yeah, tomorrow you will manage in the major leagues for the first time officially. Spring training games do not count, as you know. Any nerves yet? Any butterflies? I mean, you've been around this as a player. You've been around this for many years as a coach. But are you anxious about tomorrow?
You know what's funny? I'm not. I might be a little bit nervous, but not because of the games. It's because my mom's going to be here, and I always want to do, even though I'm 54 years old,
yeah.
I want to do well when my family is here. That's the only reason.
So how many people are, I had to ask you this, Charlie. So your mom's here from Puerto Rico, from Florida. How many of your pals are coming up? Because we met some of those people. They all said they were coming, so I'm not sure if you've got enough comps for them. But how many are coming up for this?
We got many people coming from Puerto Rico. We got people coming from Durham, North Carolina, from Montgomery, Alabama, from Portland, Maine, almost everywhere I've been, Tucson. Yeah, so the Toronto Blue Jays got many fans now because of me now, and they're everywhere.
Steven and I were talking about this earlier, and I'm really intrigued by what your thoughts are. Clearly, your camp was very different from any of the camps anybody has seen around these parts for some time. It was probably more organized, more specific, more teaching that was going on. You have been a teacher all your career, since you quit playing. And I'm wondering if you think that will continue. Can you be that guy when you're the manager as well?
You can count on that. I will be that guy. And that's what makes this team special to me, because it's a team where I can teach. You know, we got young players, and the teaching is not going to stop. You know, like I told my coaches, we're gonna teach from game one in spring training all the way until the last game of the year. So it's going to be the same way.
So
we're going to teach every day.
So if Brunt and I go down, you know, in mid-May, and we're at the ballpark at 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock start, Are we going to see guys taking infield? Are we going to see guys working on cutoff plays? Are we going to see those kinds of things that we saw 40 years ago with an expansion team?
40 years ago.
Yeah, but haven't seen much of since then, you know? Is that what we're going to see?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see guys working on whatever we need to work on. Of course, I'm not going to do it just if we're playing good baseball. You don't do it just to do it. You know, whatever we need to work on, you're going to see us working on whatever that is.
I want to ask you, one of the you know, and it may be underreported stories this spring, Charlie, but, you know, last year, Teoscar Hernandez had struggled in left field.
Defensively.
Yes, defensively. This would be an understatement. Any Jays fan is saying, yeah, no kidding. You know, kind of looked at times, looked like what I remember being in when I've been in the Little League and we were hoping they wouldn't hit me the ball, right? He looked like and this is a guy, though, before he came to Toronto, before he came to the organization, was regarded as a plus defensive outfielder. He played center field at times, so you know you don't do that unless you're not good. And yet his confidence was gone, right? It just and to the point where people wondered if he could ever play the outfield. He went down to he played in the Winter League in Dominican, showed up in spring, and looks like a different guy. And I wonder, you know, that I know some of that happened during the spring. And I wonder just the work you did with him, the work your coaches did with him. And, you know, how do you make a guy believe in himself again in the field?
Well, that was one of my goals when I got the job, and I heard about Teoscar's struggles in the outfield, and that was probably my number one goal to accomplish when spring training was over, that Teoscar would get better in the outfield. And starting the offseason, Mark Baczynski flew down to Dominican Republic to work with him, and I also went down there to see him and tell him how much I thought of him and what kind of player he was, and you know, and that spring training, that work continued. You know, Mark Baczynski worked a lot with him, and if you saw him in spring training, he played great. He played great outfielder. To me right now, he looks like the guy that we thought he would be, you know, a good outfielder with all the tools, you know. So, yeah. But, I think we accomplished that one.
But it's interesting, you know, you're not teaching him how to catch the ball, right? He knows how to catch the ball. It's that, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, you're a bit of a shrink sometimes, I guess, right? Going down and saying we believe in you.
that's I'm going to say that's 70-80% of my job. Be that guy and give guys confidence, because it's a tough game, you know, and when people don't believe in you, somebody's got to come up and believe in you, and I believe in him. And I told him that from the beginning, and that's another reason why I sit in third in the lineup, because I think he's got the tools to be that guy. And you know, he's going to be a big part. If we're going to have success, Teoscar Hernandez is going to be a big part of it.
He hit 22 home runs last year, Charlie. That's decent power, and there's every reason to believe he can hit more than that. You know, his line is decent enough offensively. The problem was 163 strikeouts. You threw him a fastball up and in. You throw him a breaking ball away. He chased both, and he couldn't get to either one of them. How do you address that specifically? How do you take something like that out of a guy's game?
Well, I don't go much by sprint training a lot, but the approach that he had in sprint training was really good. And again, Guillermo Martinez was also working on that. And again, nobody knows what's going to happen during the year, but I know the approach that he had during spring training, not chasing balls in the dirt, like you're saying, and chasing balls out of the strike zone, he did a good job of that. So I'm hoping he stays with that throughout the year.
We live in an era, and you know this, where the home run is the be-all and end-all.
And strikeouts aren't that big a deal.
And strikeouts are not considered a big deal. But I think we all grew up in an era where contact was key. And we respected guys who won the batting championship. Now we don't we barely acknowledge them. We barely talk about them. Is it hard to get this message through the players today, to the players today, who seem to be so focused on hitting the ball far?
Well, that will be a message that I'm going to, because just like you, it bothers me when people strike out and in baseball. And even when I was a third base coach in the big leagues, is that, you know, it's even more pressure of a third base coach. If you stop somebody at third base with one out, you would think that's a good move, but not anymore, because people strike out left and right.
Yeah.
So that's one of our goals this year, you know, put the ball in play, more contact. So, you know, we'll see how that works, but that's going to be our message the whole year. Just put the ball in play.
Now, Charlie,
what happens?
Your team, you guys sailed through spring training with no, you know, not a lot of injuries. You know, Devin Travis obviously happened, but not a lot of, you know, the concerns on the injury front until right at the end. And then everybody got hurt in a week, right?
Yeah.
It kind of felt like that. I just wonder about, you kind of had your rotation set early in the spring, you know, and you kind of knew where everybody was going to be placed. Obviously, Borucki having that twinge in his elbow changed that. But what was it like, you know, having to kind of make all those decisions on the fly at the very end about your rotation and about your bullpen after having things, as I say, kind of lined up and ready to go for most of the spring?
Yeah, you're right. It's funny how this game works. You know, all of a sudden you feel so good about your bullpen, and, you know, you got Ashford, Tepera, you know, Norris when he first came in, you know, Giles, Meza, Biagini. So everything's looking good. All of a sudden people get hurt. Well, the good news is that Tepera and Norris might be back. You know, they're not going to be out for that long, so that's going to help. So for the time being, now somebody else gets a chance. And now, you know, Gaviglio and Pannone and those guys get a chance to show what they can do. And that's how baseball works, you know. Hopefully these kids do the job and we'll be all right.
With Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo, I don't need to tell you this. You came from an organization that invented something that we'd never seen before, and that is the opener. And the Tampa Bay Rays did it essentially because your team didn't have enough starting pitching. Are we going to see? Are you inclined to use that strategy this year with the Blue Jays? I'm sure you've thought about it. You certainly could make the argument that you could go with a four-man rotation and use an opener now and again. What do you think of that?
You know, what I learned from being with the Rays is to be open-minded. So I'm always going to be open-minded, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to win a game. But when it comes to the opener, the only reason you're using openers is because your five starters are not doing well. You know, I'm hoping my five starters are doing well, and then we don't need an opener. So right now, I'm not thinking about using an opener, but if one of my starters is got a 5-6 ERA, then we got to make an adjustment. But if they're all pitching good, then you probably won't see the opener.
Yeah. Well, and I would think you would run some other guys through that rotation before you get there, right, Charlie? Because, you know, again, once your guys get healthy, you're going to have some more options.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, going back to the Rays, the reason they use an opener because guys got hurt. So they have to make an adjustment, and it actually worked out pretty good, as you guys know.
Now, one thing, you know, one of the other things that you guys fooled around with this spring, and I can't wait till we see it in the game, is Tim Meza, you know, your lefty in the pen.
Yeah.
Taking reps at first base, and the idea that you could bring him in to face a lefty, he could go over and for a couple of outs and play first base if necessary, and then come back in for another lefty in the lineup. Where did that idea come from, Charlie? Have you done that before, or have you been on a team that did that somewhere before? And you know, when do you think you roll that one out?
Well, it's something that comes from experience, because I don't take spring training. I manage every game spring training like I was going to manage during the year, and that's why we use the four-man outfield and we did all the stuff, because I don't want to do it just when the season starts when you don't know how it's going to work. So the main reason I was thinking about Meza playing first is because we only have one lefty in the pen, you know. So if you know, we got righty, lefty, righty, it would be great for me to do that. And I saw it, the Rays did it last year, and while I was a bench coach, and I remember telling Kevin Cash, asked me, "You think that's a good idea?" And I said, "It will be fun." And he goes, "Heck fun, I just want to win." You know? He said something else, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, and I got it, and that's the whole point. You know, whatever it takes to win a game, we have to do that. You know, and again, if you see Meza playing first, it's because it's a big right-hander who's got no shot to hit the ball to that way, and that's the reason you would see it. And I believe, honestly, it's going to happen sometime this year.
How do you look? How does he look at first base? Like, again, as you said, you're going to put him up there when ideally the ball's not going to go his way. But when you put him out there, how do you look?
He's been catching balls. All he's got to do is catch a ball from the infielders when they throw the ball. So, you know, and hopefully it's going to be one batter anyways, because you can only do it one time, you know, and that's a rule. So you do it one time and then he's out of the game. So it would just be for one batter.
The San Diego Padres, over the last 2 days, announced that two of their highest-rated prospects age 20 and 23, an infielder and a pitcher, will both start the year on the Major League roster. Neither one of them has played above Double A. The Luciano situation is different because it's a Rule 5 scenario, and you'd lose him if you sent him down. But right. You saw enough of Tellez, Bichette, Biggio, and I have to assume you hadn't seen much, if at all, anything of them previously, and probably were fairly impressed by them. Were you tantalized by the notion of those three guys plus Guerrero in the infield? Because your infield would have averaged 22 years old. Averaged.
You know, I'm a player development guy, so for me, to me, they have to play at the AAA level first, you know, at least, you know, get some at bats there before. Not that they couldn't play in the biggest right now, but I've seen it before. I've seen guys hit 300, you know, 320 in Triple A, and then they come to the big leagues and hit 240. So, and I see that all the time. That's why I think it's big for kids to go one level at a time. And again, having said that, you know, the sprint that Bo Bichette had, he was outstanding. It was a lot of fun for me to watch that kid play. Vigio was very good. You know, it was a great spring training for me because I take the starters out and the guys that go in would be Vigios and Bichette, and that's our future. You know, they'll be here someday. Whenever our minor league coaches say they're ready, they will be here.
I'm wondering what your conversation was with Bichette before he left. I know he was in Montreal with you guys. You know, we spent all our time, and you understand this, talking about Guerrero and what he's going to be and how good he is going to be. And Bichette kind of is been below the radar, at least for a lot of fans. And yet those of us who watch a lot of baseball have been aware that this guy might be almost as good as Guerrero, might even wind up being a better player. I haven't seen anything that I don't like about him. Have you?
Do you know what I like about him? His confidence. Like, if I had his confidence at that age, I would have played more than a month in the big leagues. I can tell you that much. This kid's confident, and I love it. You know, at the beginning of the year, we talked to him, you know, you might not have a big chance to make the club, but, you know, but just have fun. And he said, no, I'm competing for a job. He said that to us in the first meeting to me and Russ, and I love it. And when he left and when he told him that he was going down to the minor leagues, he said, I'll see you guys soon and stuff. So I just love that confidence, and never mind his tools. He's going to be good for a long time. The sky's the limit with that kid.
Yeah, I agree.
I just try to ask you one about, you know, there's a lot of positive stories out of this spring with the young guys, but, you know, one kind of tough story is the Dalton Pompey story. And, you know, he's a local kid. A lot of people have followed his career pretty closely here. You know, the team, you guys are going to have to make a decision on him because he was out of options. And then I'm not sure if you totally understand what happened with the locker and the bat. I can't quite figure it out. But what's the latest on Dalton Pompey, Charlie? And what are you hearing?
You know, that one hurts. That one hurts because he was one of the guys I was pulling for from the beginning. He's got the tools to be a good big league player for a long time, and for some reason or the other, he never got there. So from the beginning, my first meeting with Dalton was saying, man, you know, you get the tools. I'm going to play every day. I want you to make this club. And he did. He was playing every day. He was having a great spring training. He was working hard every day. And, you know, he was almost there. All of a sudden, this happens. So, and like you said, I'm not really sure how it happened, but he's really hurt right now. So I don't know how long he's going to be out.
So there's no kind of timeline. Again, I know with concussions, it's hard to put a timeline on it, but he's had
some before that, so you got to be careful with when that happens like that.
I think this is the third time, like, actually, third that he's
one.
Been out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Third one. Yeah.
All right. Let me throw this at you. This kind of came up the other day. We know, everybody knows the expectations are pretty low for this team. The bar is set pretty low. Nobody expects this team to go out and win 100 games or compete for a championship. You know, the variables are, you know, that somewhere in the 70s of wins would probably be maybe the top of the expectation. But Yankees, Red Sox, Indians, Astros are all going to be really good. But six teams make the playoffs, and it's really hard to figure out who numbers 5 and 6 are going to be. Is do you give that speech to your players at the start of the year? Do you tell them that, you know, hey, there is an opportunity here. All kinds of things have to go according to plan, but do you dangle that carrot in front of them?
I think it was easy for me to bring that message out because it happened the year before where I was. Nobody thought the Rays were going to go anywhere. All of a sudden, they won 90 games.
That's so, right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so that's the thinking in this clubhouse right now. We're going to compete every day. And again, I love how their players are thinking right now that we're going to surprise people, and I love that. And that's the vibe that there is in this clubhouse right now.
Well, I was thinking about that, Charlie, because you managed in the minor leagues for a lot of years where your objective one is player development, right? That's what you're doing with your organization. But you won a ton in the minor leagues too. So those two things can go hand in hand, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, and that would be great. That's my goal. And again, believe me, I hate losing. You know, like you might see me smiling, but it bothers me to lose, and I want to win games just like everybody else. So we're going to compete every day, but I'm going to stay positive. Whatever happens, I already talked to my coaches today. Let's stay positive. Let's have fun, and let's keep teaching.
I'm not going to ask you how many times you're going to bunt. I'm going to ask you, do you actually have a bunt sign?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And believe me, and you'll see it, and you'll see it. And we just met with the coaches, and I talked to our hitting coach. Make sure that they keep practicing the bunting, because whenever I use it, it's going to be a big part in the game, and I want them to be ready to do it. So, yes, we do have a bunt sign, and you will see it too.
I got to ask you this, I'm really asking this question as an old-school baseball guy, and I know you are too. Are you going to – have you asked any of your pure pull hitters, and you have a few of them on this team, to try and hit the ball the other way? I mean, consciously go the other way.
I know my hitting coach has been talking about that, so hopefully we'll get to that point. Yeah. Yeah, I know it bothers you when you see that whole right side open and nobody hits the ball that way.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah. I was in charge of the shifting with the Rays, and believe me, it was man on first, and I put the second baseman on the shortstop side, and the whole space was open, and my heart was pumping. Man, this guy should be able to hit it that way, and they couldn't.
And they can't. Unbelievable. Yeah,
so,
it is.
No, they can't. Right. So, yeah, I'm hoping our guys are not that guys, and we'll make an adjustment when it comes to that. That would be great.
Well, listen, we're going to let you go. You got a long day tomorrow. I hope it's a memorable one. I know you're going to be spend some time with your friends and family, but you got a baseball game to manage tomorrow. Your first managerial job in the major leagues. We're looking forward to watching you. We're looking forward to watching this team all year and having a chance to chat down the road. Best of luck tomorrow, Charlie, and thanks a lot for tonight.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you guys. Anytime.